So I hear last week Joel did some vacuuming during the sermon. I don't know.
He raised a lot of questions and said, "Hey, Mark, we'll fix it."
Either he didn't know, he said you were wrong.
I know the one to ask.
That's the reason he's teaching this morning, so he don't have to be here to answer.
I know. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to continue on from a message that we had 2 weeks ago before I went on vacation. And the message this morning is the road to New Jerusalem. The road to New Jerusalem. Last week, no, 2 weeks ago, when I say last week, I mean last and Monday, we addressed the fact that Jerusalem is the spiritual center of the earth. It is where so much spiritual warfare has gone on, is going on. Things happened there. Just a month ago, we were going through scripture and looking at the Christ child and his birth. And he was born in Bethlehem, just a few short miles from Jerusalem. And the king in Jerusalem was out to kill the baby and ended up going and killing all the boys under 2 years old. And we looked at how Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock there, while it's presently controlled by Muslims, is the very area where Abraham went up to sacrifice his son Isaac. It is the place where, when Jesus returns, he will come there. So our whole story, from beginning to end in the Bible, is connected to Jerusalem. In the last two chapters of the Bible, in Revelation, we have the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven. So what I want to do is take us through the mileposts of this road heading up to New Jerusalem. There is so much of the Bible that is connected with things that have yet to happen. What we might term as the end times. We're living in the last days, but the end times will start at a certain point. And then everything as we've known it will begin to change, and things will be different, things will be transformed, things will be new. So I just want you to kind of stay focused on the fact that Jerusalem is the spiritual center of the earth. As you see what's happening in the news, we talked about 2 weeks ago that UN resolution that had just been passed, and how that is one of those signs, I believe, leading us up to the events that are beginning to happen, that are beginning to unfold. So just by way of review, if you look up on the screen, you see a map, and you see a lot of countries in green. And then right in the very middle, you see this little tiny red dot. That red dot is Israel. All the other countries are green, that they are Muslim countries. They, the vast majority of people in there are Muslims. And they don't make it a secret. They hate Israel. In fact, all of those countries refuse to recognize that little red dot exists. They are accusing that little red dot, Israel, of trying to colonize and take away their land. We looked at a couple weeks ago the land that they're fighting over, which is the land that God gave them back in Genesis 12, when we read how it was given to Abraham. So the two scriptures that I think are bellwether scriptures for what's going on in this day and age is Psalm 83:4. We went through Psalm 83 last week. They have said, "Come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel will be remembered no more. All of those countries in green around there, that is their attitude about Israel. In Joel 3:2, God says through the prophet, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. So this is what the big deal is about that UN resolution. This is what has happened. All of the countries in that Security Council, including America, have divided up the historical land that God gave to Israel. So that's what's happening right now. We hear in the news, we don't know much about it, the details, but the president-elect has said one of the things he wants to do is to move the embassy to Jerusalem, the American embassy to Jerusalem. Now, I can't even begin to imagine all the fireworks that's going to toss off. So as you watch what's going on in the news, we don't want to be fearful because hopefully today and the following weeks, you will begin to get a strong understanding of what God is doing, what he's going to do, what he said he's going to do. So where, going back to Joel, where is God saying that he's going to bring all these nations down to this valley and judge them? You guessed it. That red dot, Israel. So when is that going to happen? And what are the signs of the things that will be occurring that let us know that this is on the horizon?
You know, since 1948, when they become a country, whenever a resolution come up, the United States has the right to veto it, which kills those resolutions. And they have done that ever since 48 until this vice president was over there. And he says, no, I'm going to just abstain. So that made that resolution pass. He was the key. In other words, he turned our nation against him.
Yeah, America could have prevented it. It has in the past.
What's his purpose for moving embassy to Jerusalem?
I don't know. I don't know very many details about it. I'm just planting that phrase in your mind so that as the news headlines deal with it in the coming months, be alert for it. We'll be alert to find out what's going on.
In that resolution, there was something that they could have left out, but they put it in. It said, and that includes East Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
East Jerusalem is where the Wailing Wall is. And Trump, if he moves the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, then it puts America between the resolution.
Yeah. Well, then when they attack Israel, they're attacking the United States.
That's right.
Is the only thing.
Yeah.
Because he can't change that resolution.
Well, I want to give a shout out to President-elect because Joel's not here. anybody that can shut down Congress with a tweet is okay in my eyes.
All right. So, what my goal is, my hope is that over the coming weeks and months, as we look into Scripture, that you will become informed biblically about the things that are going on, so that a lot of the things that you hear out in the media, you'll be able to sort out and weed out what's true, what's not, what we should pay attention to. So if you'll turn to Daniel chapter 7, Daniel's in the Old Testament. If you find the middle of the Bible, Psalms, and then you go four or five books to the right, after Ezekiel, you'll hit Daniel 7. We're going to read from three different chapters, a few verses in each chapter. We'll read Daniel 7, beginning with verse 24. And this is a passage that is key in understanding the prophecy and the times, the end times, who the man of lawlessness is, Antichrist, those, all of those issues. Beginning with verse 24. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom ten kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue three kings. So this is ten nations that will arise, and then this other king will arise, the little horn. He will subdue three of those ten. So there's only the seven left plus the little horn. Verse 25. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. And they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away and annihilated and destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. Who are the saints of the Highest One?
Us.
We are. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. So, there will be these ten kings, and this 11th one will arise, this little horn, subdue three of those ten, and he'll speak out against the Highest One for a time, times, and half a time. And that's kind of a Jewish idiom. It's a way of saying 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. Turn now to Daniel 9, 24 through 27. You know, you may ask when you hear about the Antichrist and the end times, the tribulation, all that, where does all that stuff come from? Well, this is the kind of the core of it. There's a lot of scripture on it, but I'm just taking us right to the core, and we're just going to hit some high points. Are you in 9, chapter 24? This deals with the when. When will it happen? 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring all everlasting righteousness, to seal a vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So God is laying out 70 weeks to do that. A week is 7 years. So 7 weeks, 70 weeks would be 490 years. 70 times 7. 25. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that happened in Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah is about that event in 445 BC. So from that point until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with the flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. 27. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. How long is 1 week? 7 years. But in the middle of that week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So, this chart up on the screen lays out these time frames. So from the time that the decree is given for Nehemiah to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem of the temple, there's 490 years. But that last week, that last 7 years, has not happened. The 69 weeks ended in 70 AD, which is shortly after Christ was crucified, and Rome came in and completely annihilated and tore down the temple and all Jerusalem, until the Jews came back in 1948. So that whole period of time, that was not their home. It was their homeland, but it was just a bunch of different people living there. There was no real country identity. So we have this last week, this seven-year period. Okay, last one in Daniel will be chapter 12, verses 7 through 13. I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel. For these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but those with understanding, with insight, will understand. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end, and then you will enter into the rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age." So during this last week, this seven-year period that is yet to start, during the first 3.5 weeks, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will affirm or confirm a treaty to protect Israel from all those green countries around it. That hasn't happened yet. When we see that happen, we will know things are on the edge. And that's taking into account that maybe the rapture hasn't yet happened. The rapture could happen right before that, right at that time, right in that general area. But it's that treaty to protect Israel. So now you can begin to see how important this resolution is that says Israel is illegally occupying their own land and that all the countries around Israel are against Israel. The things that God says are going to happen are beginning to happen. We can't put a day and a time when these things actually do happen, but they are signs that we are to look out for. I hesitate. In fact, I don't think you have ever heard me say any particular news article is something found right in the Bible until just recently, where I feel like this UN resolution is paving the way for the need for the Antichrist to stand up and protect Israel. Because Israel's ally, America, has just laid down. So who knows? You know, with the new administration coming in, don't know what will happen there. So, what you should know is that over in Jerusalem, the Jews have been creating, making, forging, sewing, putting together everything they need to build this new temple. That the Antichrist will then allow the Jews to carry out their sacrifices and their worship on the Dome of the Rock right now where the Muslims have control of. So that'll be horrendous. There'll be great spiritual battle going on. Israel will need protection, and that's what the Antichrist does. So they have everything ready to build that temple. Then they will begin to do their sacrifice. They'll be able to, the Jews will be able to pray at the Wailing Wall. They'll be able to build this new temple. And it'll go on for 3.5 years. And then the Antichrist comes into the temple, stops the sacrifice, stands in there and declares himself to be God. That's the abomination of desolation. If you ever wondered what that was all about, the abomination of desolation is that man, that event. And so for those last 3.5 years is when God finishes pouring out his 7 trumpet judgments and does the 7 bowls of wrath. Okay, so we're getting up to right now the end of the last week, the end of the last 7 years, the end of the end times, and let's see what happens then. All right, if you turn in the Bibles to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. We're going to look at 3 other events that happen right at the end of this 7-year period. Things that you've all heard about, but it's pretty hard to put it into context and time frame and all of that. Because there's so much in the Bible about all of this. I think that many of you were saying that Joel caused you to come up with a lot of questions about heaven last week. And that's great. Because when we have questions and we search around and find the answers in Scripture, then we begin to remember it. We begin to understand it. So are you there? Revelation 19, verse 11. This is speaking about the second coming of Christ, the return. That day that we're all looking forward to. 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. Jesus? 12. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus, right. 14, and the armies which are in heaven, clothed in linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. Who is his army? We are the saints. Those of us who've gone to heaven beforehand will return with Christ at this event that we're talking about right now.
So is there a difference between people who come back and angels?
Yes.
Okay, absolutely. There is a difference, right?
Angels are created beings.
We're the saints.
We are the saints. We do not become an angel when we die and go to heaven. We're still us. 15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can picture that. So, at the end of the 7 years, it's terminated, it's completed by this act, Christ returning. But let's look on. When he comes back to earth, what does he see? What does he find happening on earth? 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and the flesh of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. So this is what we know as the Battle of Armageddon. So he returns. And there's this Battle of Armageddon waiting for him. This is where he wages war in righteousness against all unrighteousness. All right. So we finished the 7 years. Jesus has returned. The saints have returned with him. What happens next? Go down to chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon and the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So, Satan will be bound by God for 1,000 years. Satan can no longer move, go about, do anything for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. Until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. What? Come on, God, haven't we had enough of this guy?
Thank you.
What's on that? So, what happens is Jesus returns, we return with him, he sets up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. This is what we call the millennial kingdom. Jesus will reign, we will reign with him on earth for those 1,000 years. But Satan will be all bound up tight. He can no longer do his thing like he does now. So we'll have those 1,000 years in the kingdom on earth with Christ without the influence of Satan. But there's a curious thing. At the end of the 1,000 years, he's let go for a short while. And somehow he talks other people into fighting against Christ. Thomas.
Maybe at that point he loosens them up a while so we can open up a can of whoop-ass.
Yeah, what's the Hebrew for that? So there's something curious. Wait a minute. That must mean that there are some people during those 1,000 years. That have not come to accept Christ as their Savior, that would join with Satan to fight against him. And that's true. During those 1,000 years on earth, new people will be born. And every one of those new people that are born have to accept Christ as their Savior. If they don't, they will become part of this army that Satan is able to rile up against Christ. Okay? So, one last event here before the next thing happens. We're in Revelation 20. Go to verse 7 through 10. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. And the number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came out upon the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And the fire came down from heaven, boom, and devoured them. I love it when fire comes down out of heaven. This is that Gog-Magog war that you read about in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It will happen at the end of the 1,000 years. This is where all of these nations, again, come against God, against Christ. Against his saints. But they're just, as you can see, wiped out.
Doesn't sound like much of a war.
Yeah, well, who are they fighting against? So, we're in Revelation 20. We've completed the 1,000-year kingdom. That Gog-Magog war has occurred. We don't really know how long it takes, but it looks like it happens pretty quickly. So, in the last two chapters, 21 and 22, this is where God says he creates a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. That is also stated one other place in the Bible, in Isaiah 65, 17, of all places. So, this is the road that humanity will go through on their way to this new Jerusalem. This new Jerusalem on earth, on the new earth, is where all of those that have been saved will spend eternity. We say that we go to heaven when we die, and that's true, that we go to the present heaven, but God says at the end of time, he's going to create a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And we'll talk about that in greater detail. There's so much to be said. There's so much to be said about the thousand-year kingdom, the things that are going to occur during that. It's fascinating. So, where will we be? Again, if you're a believer and you've died, you will come back with Christ. You will reside on the earth for 1,000 years with Jesus. If you somehow survived through the 7-year tribulation, you will go in. You'll be right there for the new kingdom. You will not be saved just because you survived the 7 years. You will still have to make a decision for Christ. Not many people will make it through that period if you read all the things that are going to happen. If you read Revelation chapter 6 through 19 or 20, you'll see all those things that are going to happen in that 7-year period. There's an amazing amount of stuff. It will not sneak by us. You will know if it happened. The things are so dramatic. So, the ultimate question, why is this important to me? I mean, I believe in Christ. I know I'm going to heaven. Why is any of this even important to me? Anyone have that question?
Because you got to earn the new digs.
Okay. Earn the new dates?
Earn the new digs.
Earn the new digs. Ah, yeah.
You got to know that the Antichrist is coming first, or else you'll be deceived.
Yeah. There are going to be people that don't go to heaven in the rapture. So all of this is obviously written for them. But Jesus tells us a few things. In Matthew 24, he tells us to the signs that will come. The apostles ask him, Jesus, when is this going to happen? And what will be the signs of your return? You know, isn't one of the major milestones in our Christian life to know when Christ is going to return? We instinctively begin to know that there's more to life, there's more good than what we're in right now. There's more to come. There's better to come. So knowing these signs helps. Also, Jesus says there will be many people that say, I'm the Christ. And they will be imposters. So it's important for us to know the truth. Truth cancels out fear. I was talking to Thomas earlier, and he was talking about some wacko that kept saying, well, the end is coming, you know, next year. Well, that was, you know, 2 decades ago.
2012.
And you have seen many people that have followed people that said, the end is coming, follow me. Well, truth cancels out fear. We do not need to fear the end of the world because we know the truth. We know where we are going to be. But we do have relatives. We do have neighbors. We do have friends. We do have people that we know who have not put their faith in Christ. And as we see these signs and the things coming nearer and nearer, we might get just a little more, you know, intentional about sharing the gospel with others. Jesus tells us to look for his return. And we are to live for that day. We are to make our lives count. We are to lay up treasures in heaven, eternal rewards. We are to do things with heaven in mind. That's why so much of this is important. You are representatives of Christ. Every one of you in here are ambassadors of Christ. You go out into the world, and people that don't know Christ, and they hear things on the news, and they want to know from you, Mr. or Mrs. Christian, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, how much of this is real? And you need to have those answers. Because your answers may be what leads them to the foot of the cross. Amen.
Next slide. There is no next slide.
All right, well, let's gather around in a circle and pray for one another.